Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The piano trio is one of classical chamber music's most common groupings of musicians. As the name indicates, the piano is the constant. The other two instruments can include the French horn and the clarinet, but the two most common are the violin and the cello. From Haydn and Mozart to contemporary composers, the repertoire for the piano trio is large and diverse. Milwaukee's Prometheus Trio is playing three pieces that span the timeline from early Beethoven to Brahms to the contemporary composer Paul Moravec. The trio is pianist Stephanie Jacob, violinist Margot Schwartz, and cellist Scott Tisdell. Here they are with part of the first movement of Beethoven's Opus 1 in C minor. Margot, Stephanie, and Scott, it is such a pleasure to finally sit down with you as the Prometheus Trio and hear some music and have a little conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming down to the conservatory. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And we just heard some Beethoven. And I was saying to someone before I came down here, I didn't know what you was on the concert. I purposely didn't look. And I said, oh, I hope there's some Beethoven and I hope there's some Brahms. And there is both of those things. Tell me a little bit about this Beethoven piece, because it's very early in his career, right?
It is early. It says in my music, 1793 to 94 was when it was composed. So he was 23, 24, and a young lion, big piano part that he wrote for himself. He was still studying with Haydn, at least nominally. That was something he did when he left Bonn and moved to Vienna. And
I can hear it in the way it's composed. It sounds, there's a little bit of Haydn there.
Yes, yeah. But Haydn actually, this is the third of a set of three, and apparently it was the one that Beethoven liked best. It's the only one in a minor key. And Haydn thought it was just way too shocking for then contemporary audiences. So you almost have to listen to it with old ears, really old ears, and be shocked by it.
And this is before Beethoven really kind of launched into what would become the romantic stuff that he became, right? I mean,
yeah,
he was still very much in the classical.
Yeah, but it's there. It's there.
It still sounds like Beethoven.
Oh, totally.
It really, I mean, you could say there are certain Haydn-esque elements to it, but sort of the shocking part, I think, is something that we have tried to
work on really hard.
Emphasize. Sorry. And it's Opus 1, but he wrote a lot of music before then. He wanted his Opus 1 to be something important, and that's why he was very annoyed with Haydn for not liking what he thought was his best one, and even thought Haydn might be a little jealous of his work.
And then we move from Beethoven to the other big B, one of the other big Bs, which is Brahms. And this piece is one of my favorites in the entire repertoire. Mm-hmm. There's just that opening however many measures. It just, you know, I feel like my whole body just kind of aligns somewhere, yeah. You know, that I didn't even know that I was out of alignment until I heard those chords and that music. And that must be so much fun to play.
It's so satisfying. It's this I've only been playing since I was in college, but it's just every Brahms trio that I'm playing, there are the three big ones, the three for this arrangement, and then there's the horn trio and the clarinet trio. Whichever piece I'm playing by Brahms is my favorite at the time. So right now this is my favorite, but it isn't really to diss the other ones.
And one of the things I love the way he, and we'll hear it in just a minute, yeah. But you know, you start and then the cello comes in with that deep, rich, and then the violin yeah. comes in and adds, and the layering
yes.
of this is so delicious.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous that, I don't know, me personally, I have to kind of say, okay, we have, 30 or 50 bars before he actually writes a forte, and it's very easy to kind of get overcooked too soon, and that kind of, in a way, spoils it. So I try to start it asking rather soft, even though it's extremely rich sounding.
Do you find the same, Margot, that it's just, you yeah. almost get lost in it, it's so beautiful?
Yeah, it has a real warmth mm-hmm. about it. Obviously not surprising for Brahms, like you said, but the key, I think, is, again, kind of surprising, because you think of a key with five sharps, you would think it would be sort of uncomfortable or sort of like you ate something too sour or something, but then it's so warm, and I wonder what made him pick that key. There's other pieces of his that are also warm, but they're in sort of more reasonable keys, so this seems kind of like an aberration, and I just wonder what kind of possessed him.
Well, you kind of feel like maybe he meant B flat. Which would be even warmer.
Yeah.
Right.
But then it would be overcooked.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's just something very bright about it, while also having that warmth, which is an interesting combination.
You mentioned before you started it that it was written in 1854, but he reworked it in the 1890s. What did he change?
Oh, most especially the length. Like the original version of the first movement that we played a bit of is over 400 measures, and this is, I think it's in the low 300s, I think.
So he cut.
Oh, he cut a lot. He cut a lot.
He improved it immensely in the revision.
The version we're playing, it sounds wonderfully leisurely. You don't know, unless you do know, that it's streamlined, but it is considerably streamlined from the original.
All right. Well, let's hear the piece, the part of it that you're going to play, and go ahead and reintroduce it, if you would.
This is the first movement of Brahms's wonderful B major trio, written originally in 1854 and revised in 1891.
Thank you.
a little bit of Brahms to put in the middle of our interview. Before we get to the last piece, I want to talk a little bit about chamber music in general, because it is one of my favorite, no matter the type of music, whether it's classical or jazz or rock and roll, whatever. I like a small ensemble because mm-hmm. I want to hear all the parts. I like hearing the interplay. I mean, I love symphonies too, but there's something about this. And so I know, Scott, you're with the Milwaukee Symphony. Margot, do you play at the Symphony also?
Yeah.
So what does this do for you that playing for the Symphony does not?
Well, I mean, the most obvious thing is that we are our own bosses. We get to decide, you know, how we want to play it, the tempo, you know, the inflection, the phrasing. And that's really empowering to be in control of what you're doing, whereas we follow the conductor in an orchestra, and that, you know, depending on the conductor, that can be wonderful too, but it's really nice to be in charge. But the other thing is, you know, we're string players. We have many people playing the same part as us, and we have a lot more responsibility when we just have one on a part.
Well, for me, it's about the repertoire. It's just so incredible. I mean, yes, piano trio, but also string quartet. There's so much music out there that is, you know, you just wouldn't want to miss the chance to play it. And orchestra music is also really satisfying to play, most of it. I would say that for me, it's about the chance to just also deepen your understanding of each composer. The symphonic repertoire has certain qualities that are just not possible with chamber music, and vice versa. So it's a really nice way to understand the language of a composer or of a style of music or something like that.
So you could make the case. I know that Brahms and Beethoven both wrote fantastic orchestra music, but you could make the case that in both cases their greatest music is their chamber music. I mean, I think that's a pretty strong case. And I mean, you talk about the Beethoven string quartets or any of Brahms' chamber music that he didn't destroy is an absolute masterpiece.
How long has Prometheus been in some iteration now? Okay. It's been long before I got here.
This is our 20th season. And this is, what season is it of yours?
I think five.
Yeah. So this is the first time we've played it with Margot. So each time that we've played it with somebody else. And they've all been wonderful, just as each Brahms piece that I'm playing is my favorite. You know, each violinist is my favorite at the time. Yeah. And it's, I mean, each time I get to play this piece, it's the best. It's just the Brahms in particular. But I would just say, for me playing chamber music, because I don't play an orchestra except extra very occasionally, for me, it's the comparison of playing solo piano and playing chamber music or playing a gig. Playing a gig is fine, and it's fun always. And I do a lot of collaborating with, especially with student violinists and cellists, and it's really fun for me. But ever since I discovered chamber music, which was at music camp when I was 12 years old, like, that's been my thing. And I got to play my first Beethoven piano trio when I was 13, and I was like, oh, this is what I should be doing. This is my thing.
It's like you feel at home.
Yeah, this is totally at home. And we've been so grateful all these years to the conservatory for, you know, giving us a home. And they were the ones who first sponsored us when we started. Like, this is as a resident ensemble. And that's just been a wonderful partnership.
And so looking forward, there's no end in sight.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Lots more repertoire.
Yes. And because we don't want to repeat anything too often, but at the same time, why wouldn't we play the greatest pieces? But then there are the less explored parts of the repertoire or newer pieces. We do quite a few relatively recently composed pieces.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things that I know is a hallmark for you is to bring in at least one, what most of us would consider new.
Yeah.
Even if it's been in the last 10 or 20 years, it's not part of the 19th century and early 20th century repertoire. It's, you know, it's later. And so when you come into something like what we're going to hear, which was written, what, about 12 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, about that.
So very recent.
And he's still alive.
And he's still, so living composer. Mm-hmm. And when you start thinking about that repertoire, do you approach it any differently, or is it exactly the same way you'd approach the Brahms or approach the Beethoven?
Well, the biggest difference is we're starting from scratch. We're kind of fans of Paul Moravec, Stephanie and I. We've played, this is our third piece of his?
Third and fourth, yeah.
Third and fourth pieces. So we kind of know what to expect with his music, but it's always fun to kind of build a piece up from the ground.
Yeah, because you're not building on 150 years of tradition of other people playing it. Yeah.
And what's more, we're not building on our own tradition as we are with the Brahms of, oh yeah, this is what we do. And of course, we're doing it with Margot, so we're going to discuss what it is we do and we're going to change things. But there's this comfort level that with a new piece, then that's a different kind of comfort level because we're exploring it together.
And yeah. The little bit I heard, and we're going to hear some in just a moment, he's actually very melodic.
Oh, very melodic, yeah. Very tonal, gorgeous harmonies, and I think that's what draws us most to him.
Well, I want to thank you, all three of you, for playing for us, for talking with me. After 14 years, it's about time I got here. We've been trying to do this for the last 10 years,
right,
I think, and
right.
So we finally got it done. I'm looking forward to hearing the Moravec, but before I do, I just want to say thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for everything.
The Prometheus Trio performing the music of Paul Moravec. Jason Reavy recorded the music and the conversation at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music. That's where the trio will perform this evening. There is more information at wuwm.com.